Now then, those of you who have your Bibles or New Testaments handy would care to follow me in the Scriptures. I'll be reading two verses of Scripture as we find it in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 31. Matthew 12 and verse 31. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, I believe that practically every preacher of the gospel has at one time or another given a sermon on the so-called unpardonable sin. And no doubt their approach to this all-important subject has differed somewhat from that of any other preacher. However, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I should like to approach the subject from an angle perhaps completely unorthodox to that of other preachers. And in doing so, I trust that each and every one of you will pay close attention, because I'm not basing my remarks on my own finite reasoning, but rather on the Word of Almighty God as we find it recorded by the Holy Spirit of God in the Scriptures. Now, friends, before we can discuss the unpardonable sin, we must first of all know what we mean by sin. Well, friends, in a few words, sin can be defined as anything which is contrary to the person, the Word, or the will of God. And sin, S-I-N, is something which God cannot tolerate either in His presence or in those who wish to be in His presence. Now then, since God hates sin with an infinite hatred, it's quite obvious, I believe, that sin separates the sinner from God. This fact is substantiated by Isaiah 59 and 2, where we read that our iniquities have separated us from God, and our sins have hid His face from us. Now, I'm quite cognizant of the fact that you people out there in Radio Land today don't like to be referred to as sinners. That's the reason the newspapers never report the sin, S-I-N, that exists in the world today. They prefer to call it by some other name, such as robbery, embezzlement, abortion, murder, drunken driving, drug abuse, homosexuality, juvenile delinquency, or even pornography. But listen, friend, regardless of what they call it, whether it be a social, moral, or religious digression, if it's contrary to the person, word, or will of God, it's S-I-N, sin. And friend, I don't care who you are or what your station in life might be. If you're listening to my voice today, you've been born in sin, and you've been chastened in iniquity. Yes, the Bible tells us over in Romans 3 and 23 that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now then, assuming that you believe that you're a sinner in the sight of God, I believe the next fact to mention would be that of your spiritual separation from God. Now, no doubt most of you listening in today have the habit of praying before you go to bed at night. In fact, some of you may be so religious that you pray several times a day. Well, friend, let me say in love for your soul that if you've never been born again or saved through faith in the blood of Christ, your prayers don't ascend any higher than your head. Listen, friend, God only hears the prayers of those who are born again Christians. And if you're still unsaved, then the only prayer that God will hear from you is like the publican of old, wherein your heart cries out, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And friends, it's sad to think of the millions of prayers being recited, yes, recited every day by the unsaved. And most of these people really believe that they're bidding fair for heaven. Oh, friend, let me pause a moment to ask you if you're a real Christian today. Are you sure you're a child of God? Are you sure you haven't been deluded by the devil, Satan, the enemy of your soul? Is your salvation based on faith in the blood of Christ? Have you ever seen yourself as deserving of hell? When were you born again, my friend? Can you honestly say in the presence of God today that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And friend, can you honestly look back to a time when, a place where, and a manner how you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life? You know, it's sad to think, and yet I believe it's true, that there are millions of people that get to an altar that never get to Jesus Christ. And I believe there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. Well, friend, only God and the devil and you know whether or not you're saved. But I want you to realize today that if you're not saved, then you're still spiritually dead. You're separated from God, and you're headed down the broad road that leads to hell and the ultimate lake of fire. Now, I'm no doubt speaking to a lot of people who are basing their hopes for heaven on the fact that they belong to a certain church or believe in a certain creed. Friend, that will never take you to God's heaven. Perhaps you're basing your hopes of eternal life on the fact that you were baptized, you were dedicated or confirmed. Friend, if this is your hope, then you're still on the road to hell. Then again, I think of those who may be depending upon their so-called good works. Listen, my friend, God repeatedly tells us that we can't reach heaven by our own merits. In Titus 3 and 5, we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saves us. And again, God tells us in Romans 4 and verse 5 that to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And finally, I think of what the Apostle Paul reiterates over there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Here's what he says. This is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that, friend? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now remember, friend, these aren't the words of Minor Hawk. Oh, no. These are the words of Almighty God, the one in whose hand your very breath is, the one whom you must meet in time as your heavenly Father, or else in eternity as your judge. I can almost hear someone saying, does that preacher mean to tell me that God doesn't take note of my good deeds and righteous living? Does he expect me to believe that God doesn't acknowledge my living a good, clean, moral, and religious life? Friend, I'll have to admit that what you say is true. Yes, God has much to say about your so-called good works. Listen to what he says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Over in Romans 3 and 10, God again declares, there is none righteous, no, not one. In the 6th verse of Isaiah chapter 64, God says that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, that means good works and religious rituals, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Yes, friend, God does take note of your high morals and your religious activity. He says, not I, but God says that as far as he is concerned, there are nothing but filthy rags in his sight. Friend, listen. If you and I could get to heaven on the basis of our so-called good works or religious activity, then tell me, why did Jesus die? Why did he come from heaven? Why was he born of the virgin called Mary? Why did he live a sinless life while here on earth and die on the old rugged cross? Why, my friend, if you and I could reach heaven any other way? Now then, let's go to the next point I want to make before discussing the unpardonable sin. Now, up till now, we've been learning from God's word that we're all sinners in his sight, and that there's nothing we can do to merit eternal life in heaven above. This, then, leads us to the question of how can a person be saved? How can a person be born again and sure of going to heaven when they die? Well, friend, here again, I can only refer you to the Word of God itself. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, God very clearly states that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Again, in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says concerning Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Friend, listen. God loves you and I so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on Calvary's cross for our sin. Yes, when God's Son hung on that old rugged cross nearly 2,000 years ago, he was dying the just for you and I the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Yes, sinner friends, when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he was the sinless one being made sin for you and I, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's just the reason I'm here today with that wonderful story of redeeming love. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that even though you're a sinner, God loves you. Even though you deserve the wages of sin, God loves you. Even though you merit the flames of hell, God loves you. Oh, sinner friend, if you could only know Jesus Christ as I know him today. Yes, my friend, back on June the 2nd of 1952, I was plucked as a brand from the burning, and I can say like the apostle of old, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, friend, God declares in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the very moment you take your place before God as a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner and place your trust in that precious blood alone that cleanseth from sin, my friend, you'll be saved. You'll be born again from above by the Holy Spirit and Word of God. And friend, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. And furthermore, you'll never reach heaven any other way. Well, I know some people preach that regardless of what you believe, as long as you're sincere, you're sure to get to heaven. But listen, that's one of the devil's biggest lies, and it's completely unsubstantiated by the Bible, the Word of God. Sinner friend, remember this. There is no salvation for your soul apart from faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 4 and 12, God says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ himself tells us in John 10 and verse 9, I am the door, not one of the doors. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And again in John 14 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now then, up till now we've discussed the nature of sin and the remedy for it. But let's get down to the question of the unpardonable sin. Just what is the unpardonable sin? Well, from our text in Matthew chapter 12, we read that the unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. It was attributing to Satan the work of the Spirit of God. And you know, an interesting sidelight to this point is the fact that people down through the centuries have always cursed using the name of Jesus Christ or God, but never do we hear men blaspheme by using the name of the Holy Spirit. But listen, friend, the unpardonable sin, as far as you're concerned, goes much deeper than that, because first of all, it involves your resistance to the Holy Spirit of God in convicting you of sin. And secondly, it involves your choice either to reject or accept the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, as your own and personal Savior. And friend, as I mentioned earlier, the only way for a soul to be saved is to first of all acknowledge one's sinnership in God's sight, then simply to place their trust in Jesus Christ. Now then, this acknowledgement of one's sinful condition before God can only come about by the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God as revealed by the Scriptures or the Word of God. In John 5 and 24, Jesus Christ says, He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Again in John 12 and verse 48, he declares, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now friend, if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. Conviction of sin is just as essential or important to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Mind you, I say that with the highest possible reverence for that blood that flowed for sin. And furthermore, if you're a professing Christian listening in today, and you've never experienced the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, then I don't hesitate to warn you in love for your soul, you've never been saved at all. No, you've never experienced the new birth, and you're still on the way to the pit. Now, I know that some of you don't like to hear this kind of preaching, but listen, friend, I can't be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and not warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Sure, I'll admit that God is a God of love. The fact that Jesus Christ died is proof of that. But listen, God is also a righteous God of judgment, and if you resist the pleadings of His Holy Spirit to accept His Son as your Savior, you'll be committing the unpardonable sin. You'll be trampling underfoot the blessed Son of God. And furthermore, if you do anything to hamper the Holy Spirit of God and His convicting power, well, friend, you're treading on dangerous ground, because if He, the Holy Spirit of God, doesn't work in your heart and convict you of sin, you can never be saved in spite of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Now, in a sense, what happened in Matthew chapter 12 cannot happen in just the same way today. In other words, the identical sin cannot be duplicated as such. However, men and women, boys and girls, can so sin against the pleadings of the Holy Spirit of God to receive Christ that the Holy Spirit may stop his striving for their precious soul. And I believe that there are countless souls in hell today that had once rejected the pleadings of God's Holy Spirit to the point where the Holy Spirit was withdrawn and they were hopelessly doomed and damned. Yes, friend, they had experienced the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, but they neglected and rejected God's offer of mercy through Jesus Christ. They had gone beyond the redemption point, and God declares in Genesis 6 and 3, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Sinner friend, it's a serious charge to resist any officer of the law. And in a sense, the Holy Spirit is the arresting officer of Almighty God. You have broken God's law. You've rebelled against His Word. And my friend, you've trampled underfoot His Son. But today the Holy Spirit, the arresting officer of God, is willing to offer you a pardon on the basis of your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now perhaps there's someone listening in today, and the Holy Spirit of God is even now striving with your soul. He is convicting you of your need for a Savior, and He is pointing you to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Tell me, friends, are you going to resist His pleadings? Are you going to run the risk of His never pleading with you again? Are you satisfied to continue flaunting the love of Almighty God? Are you content to hurry on down the broad and crowded road to hell? Oh, friend, I plead with you today, from the bottom of my heart, please don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. If He is speaking to you right now, listen to what He has to say. In the words of John 3 and 16 we read, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again in Hebrews 4 and verse 7, God declares today, "Today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." And over in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Friend, don't be like Governor Felix in Acts chapter 24, who told the Holy Spirit of God, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." And don't be like King Agrippa over in Acts chapter 26 either. He was the one who told the Holy Spirit, "Almost, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." Friend, don't put it off. God warned you faithfully in Proverbs 29 and 1, "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Let me repeat that verse. This is a very solemn warning from God, and I believe He's giving it to someone listening out in Radio Land today. This is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Well, friend, I plead with you today, as this voice of the gospel broadcast comes to a close, why not believe the truth of God's word? Why not believe that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died? Why not place your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ alone to take you into God's heaven? Because, my friend, if you're not depending upon the blood of Christ, then you're not on the way to heaven at all. You're on the broad and crowded road going down to the place called hell. So, friend, I plead with you, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence again today at the close of another radio message, thanking Thee for the privilege we've had of exalting the person of Jesus Christ as the only Savior of sinners, and then our God to warn sinners to flee from coming judgment. Lord, we believe that the day of Thy grace is quickly drawing to a close. The coming of the Lord is very near, and if souls are to be saved, they'll have to be saved soon. So, Father, we pray that even now, Thy Holy Spirit, through Thy Word, might be bringing both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of men and women, boys and girls listening out there in Radio Land today. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the program, if there's anyone listening in who would like to have some free gospel literature, I'll be only too happy to send it to you absolutely without cost. Or there may be someone listening in today and you'd like to have a New Testament. I'll be glad to send you one of these, too, absolutely free and without cost to you whatsoever. Then perhaps there's someone listening in and you have some questions regarding God's way of salvation. Well, friend, if you write to me and tell me what those questions are, I'll be happy to answer you chapter and verse from the Word of God. Now remember, if you have any questions or would like to have this literature, you just send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.